Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. We thank you today one more time, Father, Lord. And all the benefit that we have received from you, Father, we give you all the thanks and glory and all the praises, Father. Even today, as we come before you once again, Lord, bring down the word of life to us, Father, and keep us in thy word, Lord. May our minds, Father, be thinking about those things that thou want us to think about, Lord, especially that which concerning the bread of life, which concerning, O Lord, the word of life. We ask for your grace right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we have the background to our three aims, and laid a foundation about the mind. And our text, of course, last week we pick up one particular verse is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. And we know that the mind is the battlefield in which every day our five senses will be acting upon, will be giving it information to what, to how we want our man in within us, that the real man that's within us, the soul, how we want to react to this information. And we conclude with how that the Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 27, and that we all should love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. There are four things all together, and we realize that we can say that we love the Lord with all our hearts, our soul and our strength and our mind, that is. And but when it comes to the mind, which is one of the most difficult to control, and so no man can do this or can really say that they always love God with all their or with all his mind. But however, if we are not willing, if you and I are not willing, not wanting to strive to do that which is right, according to the word of the Lord, then we will find very hard to really fulfill the word of God, to love him with all our mind. Alright, because as you know, the devil is always out there to take a ride upon our soul and our thinking, whatever it may be, and try to disrupt our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we want to talk about the second M. Let's go to the book of Psalms 19 verse 14. Alright. Psalms 19 verse 14. Let the words of my heart, of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The second M is meditation. Meditate. From a Japanese word they try to describe the word meditate in their language is to think heavily upon, as to chew over and over again. To come at it again and again. And I believe that many of us have seen a sculpture or a painting. I believe the original is a sculpture of a man sitting on a stone, on a rock, you know, and putting his head on his, his fist, and is thinking heavily. And of course, sometimes they create a sculpture where the person is sitting in the toilet, on the water system, you know, on the toilet bowl, and think. I don't know, you're kind of humorous though, but thinking is really strange. You see, when we really think, when we are at the table and the desk doing our work, when we really try to solve a problem, we really put our hands upon our head, our head upon our hand, and really think and try to figure it out. You know, but we are solving a problem, but to meditate is to And Japanese were to come and eat again and again and chew upon it again and again. Very carefully, sometimes in a very, you know, in a moody state. And when you approach someone who is moody, you know that he's in deep meditation, actually. So why are you so moody? You know, because, but what caused him to be moody is because something is going through his head over and over and over again. But then yet, a moodiness, a person when he's moody doesn't mean that he's actually meditating upon the right thing. There are people who are moody, but they are thinking on the wrong thing. They are meditating on the wrong thing. So what we have is that in the garden, of course, where we see that serpent came to Eve and just put a thought, put a sow some words in her mind. Have God said, and all that it takes is for Eve to meditate upon this, these few words. And God said, yeah, God said. You know, and when she began to meditate on these things, it's when it's actually going to manifest later on. The result of meditating on the things that was given to you. Whether the words you hear, or the thing that you see, or the thing that you are, you know what, experiencing in life, good or bad, you take any of these things and you begin to meditate on it, it can lead to something. It will always reap whatever you sow in the mind, you will always reap. And so we find the Bible, the Word of God is perfect, it converts the soul. And we know therefore how Paul said that if there be anything that has virtue, think on these things. And here we see David. He said, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. And you know, as I said, I think King David is one unique person, or one outstanding example of a man who is not fearful of letting God examine his heart, of letting God look deep into his heart, deep into his soul. How many of us are able to say what King David said? Let the word of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. It's not just thinking a thought. We can think of something, but when we take it and begin to meditate it, we are actually trying to sow it. You think on something is one thing, but when you meditate upon it long enough, you are just taking something and planting. You are giving a seed, which is just a word. What do you think about it? Okay, here came the serpent and told Eve, you know, have God said, it's just a word, just something that you need to think. Alright, you think about it. It's in your mind, you think about it. But when you begin to meditate long on it, you are taking those words and begin to sow it. You are trying to planting it. And if just somebody give you some seed, they say, this is a flower, you know, this is the seed of a summer plant, and it grows a certain flower, and you heard about it, and things like that is given to you, so it's up to you to do what you like with that seed. And if you start to cradle with this, and you begin to look at it, and after a while you begin to plant it, that is when you begin to meditate on it. That you actually want to see what comes out of it. Meditation is actually, you are thinking over and over again, chewing on it to try to bring forth something. What will be the end result of these things? It's just like, every one of us, like you know, we can get offended by someone's word, someone's action, but whether the person's word is spoken on purpose or otherwise, or whether the action is, you know, done on purpose or otherwise, or something, we get offended. And when we can get offended, we can get very, really upset. You know, in any congregation, whether it's 50, whether it's 20, whether it's 500 or 1,000 people, eyes that are on the floor is looking to the person at the pulpit. And it's easy for people out there in the floor to find fault with the one at the pulpit. And you're not necessarily a preacher. Maybe you're just a song leader. Or maybe you're just an elder or a deacon who come up here to say something. You see, here we are, for example, in Singapore. When things go wrong in the nation, maybe in the inflation, who do we blame? Heresies, everybody says, oh, the government did this, did that. And so here, the taxi driver wants to increase the fare. Here, the hawkers increase the fare. The food prices. And we grumble about this and we grumble about that. And you know, we are offended because some things just go wrong and we just have to blame on somebody. And you know what I blame on the recent inflation in Singapore? Is a 2% increase of GST. And I said this years ago when the government wanted to introduce the GST, goods service tax. You know, they want to increase slowly. 3%, 5%, 2%, so that it would not hurt the people all of a sudden or something like that. But I know that it was a very bad thing. It's very bad to go a little bit by little bit. If we have a GST, 7% at the very beginning, we wouldn't have this problem today with inflation. I can tell you that. The reason I believe is this is because now we have 7%, because 2%, now we have people just growing up to 20%, 25%, some of the food stuff is ridiculous. Now assuming that 1 year later, if the government says, okay, we increase 1 more %, you'll be sure that 1 more % increase, your food will go up by 5-10%. Or even 20% again. People will feel the pinch and a little bit of increase. Those who are businessmen will always want to raise their price a little higher. It will always be because people want to earn the same amount. Here we have 2%, 1% increase in this. So the businessman said, look, what I sold for $4, a plate of rice with some meat on it, now it seems to be that it goes to $4.20, so I'm going to increase to $4.50. You know, it will never be last. And so when we really look at our life, we are always easily offended by some words or action being said. And if our mind pick those things, those words, and we begin to meditate on it, we're in trouble. We're really in trouble. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. I want to let you know this. We have nobody to blame. We can hear somebody say something, well, maybe, in anger. But we should not just simply get so offended by it. But when we do, we end up in a mess. It's not just to correct a situation. Let me take, for example, we discussed it on Friday. You know, this internet is a source of information. Out there, we have all kinds of information. And we have a lot of Christian organizations, churches, whether it be just group or individual, looking onto the internet, debating over doctrines, debating over this and that and everything. And here we have on the internet, I can tell you, we have many, many websites and web forums around this anti-message. Isn't it? You all know about it, don't you? Anti-message, Yahoo forums, various others, you see. And here we have, I recently, somebody sent it to me, I don't know who that man is. I don't know how he got my email address for quite some time now already. And some of the email he's sending me, I forward to you. And this one, I don't remember whether I forwarded to you. He sent me an email, forward to me an email, that someone from Singapore wrote it to him. You know, and I got it. And that is signed off as Brother A.T. Now, I guess that the original name was printed there, and I think this brother who forwarded it perhaps had removed the name to just to put the initial. When I read that, I know who that was. Who that believer is. How many of you, did I forward to you? I guess not. Anyone, you know what? I know these believers, and I wrote back to this person who forwarded to me and just let him know. Because the person who complained here in Singapore, he said, oh, you know what, I'm a believer in end-time message in Singapore. It's you know, there's so much confusion here in Singapore. The believer, the church, and the end-time message are split up. And I said, there's no harmony, they don't think about evangelism, you know. And then he mentioned, Jonah Howard anyway. He says, oh, he and his doctrines of the millennium is here. You know, God have mercy on him, and things like that. You know, he said, I'm very confused. I was saying, I believe this message to be true, but what is all this about? And he said, I went to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord gave me a dream that I'm safe. I'm a child of God, I'm safe. You know, so the way that this letter was reading was it was criticizing the believers, the end-time message, the churches. And so when I replied to this man who forwarded to me, I said, do you believe in such email? But take heed. This believer may complain about this church and that church. I said, I know him. I said, he started from the original, the big church back in 69 or 70 when he started. And there was a lot of things that was done wrong. And so the church split, the doctrine was wrong, and so he was with Judah Howard for a while. He split again. Then he went off. Now where is he? He stays at home, listening to tapes, a couple of people. I said, brother, there are people, they are living on dreams. And they come, if you have a dream that God showed it to you, you must know how the dream is all about. And know how to act upon the word of God. There are a lot of people out there that says, no, God showed me this, but you know what? It goes contrary to the word. You know what Brother Bell said about dreams and visions? He said, if the dream is of God, it will fulfill itself. If the vision is true, it will be fulfilled. Is that right? You know, but if a person says, oh, yeah, God said I'm a child, and I stay home, I don't go to church, you know, I listen to the tape, and I can be perfected. And I told this brother, I say, if a person can stay home and listen to fear about me and be perfected, my Bible is alive, God is alive. You need to watch what you claim. You know what I'm saying? He does that person say, God, I'm a child of God. God, show me I'm a child of God. I'm saved. And you go out there smoking, drinking, go to bar. You know what I'm saying? What kind of life is that? Does it not show that it is contrary to the word? It is. So what kind of mind is in the person? What kind of mind is that? Because of that problem here, he listened to false doctrine. Everybody else is wrong, but he himself is right. And you know what? Right or wrong is how you live the life according to the word of God. It's what faith is all about. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by your dreams or your vision. Because I have, throughout all these years, back in 71, I have mixed with so many of these ministers overseas, locally in Malaysia. They tell me their dream, they tell me their vision. Even God, one of them said, God spoke to me verbally, audibly. But then his ministry and his life is just contrary. Something is wrong, brothers and sisters. That's why there are even all those out there from our overseas. God said, God spoke to me in audible voice, my child, my servant, my son. But his life is contrary to the word, his doctrine is contrary to the word. Look at Benny Hinn, look at Oral Roberts. What did Oral Roberts say years ago? Do you remember? God wanted me to build this. You know what he wanted to build? And says, I need to have $6 million. And if I don't get $6 million from you, brother and sister, who suppose donate, then God is going to take me home. Is that so? You think about how contrary this whole thing is. You mean to say God ministry, without God, without money, God cannot do His ministry? And you can tell me that God gave you a dream, that told you in a dream that you, that God said to you, I need $6 million to build this. If you don't have $6 million, I'm going to take you home. What kind of God is that? Can you imagine that? When a man thinks in his mind wants to be somebody, or because he wants the money. Remember the three things in life? Huh? You see? What did the African brother used to say? Well, woman, I don't know what's the other one. Huh? No, but they use all the W letter. Well, woman, fame is what? Why? I don't know what that is. I can't remember. Anyway, he used all the letter W, you know. We all know what is wealth. Wealth is money. Money, and then we have woman, you know. And then the fame. Fame is one. Fame is, what is the W word for fame? I don't know what is that. Anyway, I can't remember what was the word used. Anyway, you see, that is just these three things. You know, if you want is money, if what you want is popularity, what, you know. You think of this thing in your mind, you begin to meditate upon it day and night to be somebody, to be... You look at a charismatic Pentecostal world out there. Everybody is challenging each other. Go to America on Sunday, stay in a hotel, turn every channel, every prime time, morning till night. You get all kinds of evangelists on television. Yes. And some will come out dressed in... Oh my, you know, that's in religious God. And the way they're preaching for 30 minutes, and after the rest of it, they appeal for money. You know. So what do we get out of that thing? You see the mind works like that. You think so much upon this thing, but start to meditate on this thing. In the end, you are the one to be blamed. Not God, not the people around you. So what? I said, so we have problem here in Singapore, not in jars then, not message churches. But the charismatic churches, the Pentecostal, there is a great shaking. God said, I will shake this whole world. And the thing that will not be shaken will remain. All those things that will be shaken will fall off. The world falling apart. It is true. This world is falling apart. Either it is economically, or politically, religiously, militarily, the whole world is falling apart. You know. But what are we going to do about it? God has a living ministry. Brother, I was sharing with those ministers in Kinshasa. You know, proving to them that there needs to be, and they agree, yes, there must be a living ministry. It's not a ministry of just quoting the prophet of God to this generation. There's going to be a living, powerful ministry. And it's so humble, even as Bob Abraham said, the people will not even notice it. Then how are we going to recognize it if we don't have the ear to hear what God's saying? And we all, what we have is to be offended by words of somebody or the action of some churches. You know. And that's what I said is, God told Israel, leave those Ammonites alone. Leave those Edomites alone. Those land are not for you. I did not promise to give you those land that they occupy for you. That those are the land I give it to them. Just leave them alone. You are my chosen people. Bypass them. Yes, you buy whatever you want from them. Exchange and barter whatever we want. Just bypass them. You know. And go to a promised land. They all can claim it, Abraham. They all can claim that. But you God don't even recognize the Ammonites and Edomites. Because they are not His chosen people. And the same day today, God has given us the promised word.
bypass all of them.
When God gave us a message to come out of this to Babylon, to come out of the Egyptians' bondage, they keep you in slavery. A slave. I mean, that's what denomination does. Huh? What all those denominations do to you, do to every Christian, bind you in all religious creeds and dogmas. We come out of it. So why do they worship to come out of Babylon? So we come out to the Word of God. And that's what we should come back to. A simple message just like that. And if the mind cannot understand, then something is wrong. I mean, if we didn't hear right. Jesus said, take it out to hear. For many hearing, they hear not. And yet when Jesus spoke the truth, many were offended. And Jesus said to that disciple, are you also offended? Are you also going away from me? In this world, no matter what, we will be offended by somebody here and there. By the word spoken, by the action done, performed. But let us not dwell on this. Let us not meditate on it. We can get hurt for temporary. Okay, you get hurt. You got hurt. Okay, that's right. It's okay. Forgive the brother, forgive the sisters and move on. But if we start meditating on this thing, there will be no end to it. There will be no end to it. And who? And which side do you take? You know, one of the best, you know, there were many messages Brother Ben had in those early days when I came to the message. You know, I took those messages that really showed me something. I took books like The Token, Why We Are Not a Denomination, Why I'm Against Organized Religion, The World Falling Apart, and then Taking Side with Jesus. And that one, I really love it. I really like that. Whose side are you taking? Are you taking the side of the Lord, or are you taking the side of your friends? Some people think about their friend more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like I said, it's about wedding, especially wedding. You know, during wedding, it's only once in a lifetime you are wedded. And you be a believer, what are you going to do during the wedding? You see, I'm not forcing anybody else. You know, when I got married, I wouldn't allow. Me and my wife agreed that there's no makeup, nothing. Simple. No makeup, no jewelry, all this stuff, you know. Why? Because it's all, we can have a mother said so, anything against it. Mother-in-law said it. Sister-in-law said any kind of thing. Wow, your wife is so plain Jane. My sister, my half-sisters complained to my mom. I said, I'm not marrying you. Funny, isn't it? Anybody want to complain to you or your, about why your wife is so plain, saying, I'm not marrying you. Tell them, I'm not marrying you. You say, we have a task to me to give. And it's not easy, but we have to make a stand because that is our life. Do we please our parents? I didn't please my mom. I please the Lord Jesus. I'm going to stand on the Lord's side of the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come, what's of mine? You heard the word, what are you going to do with those words? Are you going to meditate on the word of truth? Those things that have life, meditate on this thing. And that's why King David, oh, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He said, do you think our meditations are acceptable to the Lord? If I say something here on the pulpit, and you hear it and you don't like it, do you meditate on it and then you start to mumble and this and that in your life? Let me say something. You see, come on Sunday, we have fellowship. Come on Friday, we have fellowship. We all say another thing. As on Friday, everybody shares something. And if we don't like something, we meditate too much on it because somebody says something, what, hear me preach here or say something here. And you go and meditate all over it, over and over again. You know what? It's bad for your health. You know. Whether I spoke it on purpose or whether I spoke it not on purpose to hurt anyone, but for a fact. When Jesus said to the parents, you are the father of the devil. His work you will do. What unto you, Pharisees? You encompass land and sea.
And you press like all those people out there, and you make that do for the child hell worse than you. Man, you've got to cut to the heart, isn't it?
But Deacon, he was perfect. And he was a Pharisee.
You know what? His mind, he heard this. It goes into his mind. He meditated on it. He said, yes, that's the truth. That's we are. This man spoke the truth. There's something about it. But you know, all those other Pharisees mumbled against him, speaking, don't you try to be funny, Nicodemus? That man is a blasphemer. You know, but more than that, that Nicodemus meditated on those words of truth, whereas those other Pharisees, they meditated on those words they considered lies. What is the result? One went on the left, the other went on the right, and Nicodemus went on the right path and went in the night to see Jesus. And he got the answer. You see, it's just how you want to think of it. You know? And so let us meditate. Lord, let our heart, let my heart, whatever I meditate, the words of my mouth, what I say, let it be acceptable to the heart. And it's true. Any word said, you know, the word of God. When a preacher come up preaching, look at Jesus Christ. When he preached something, he divides the camp. Remember Jesus said that I'm going to send the salt into the house? Huh? Isn't that so? He will create loggerheads between the father and son and the daughters and mother. He will create the loggerheads. There will be war inside the house because of the gospel. And he will separate the family even. That's true. And sometimes it is true that preachers, like I said, the example given earlier, what Jesus said, and Nicodemus choose, you know, it cuts such a way that he heals a person, and Nicodemus. The other one he cuts, he did not heal the other group of Pharisees. And that is true. A word preached, some people can receive and understand, and they come to eternal life. Come to a blessing. And the same word preached, some people can get it and come to a condemnation. Now, that is very, very true. It's not just exactly what I preach over in so many places when I preach and I told them the truth. You, I can have some ministers come to praise the Lord again. Whatever he said, that is the truth. And they are willing to separate and leave. But the others, they behind my backs, so they attack me, this and that, and no, he's not a believer, he's not a believer, the entire message of Brother Bram, he don't believe in Brother Bram, and all that thing. You see? You will never end. So the mind is how we think, how it's the same word, but we need to think on the right thing. Otherwise, it goes into the heart, and when you meditate too long in it, you're going to sow it wrong. Alright? My mind is the place where my thought originates. We all know that is true. That's where we think about it. But my meditation, when it starts to develop, or what I'm thinking so much about it, chew upon it, sooner or later, as I said this, it will grow. So to meditate on the thought is to mature that thought. Psalms 63, verse 6. I meditate on thee in the night watches. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I'm privileged, I would say that by the grace of God, while I was working in Woodbridge Hospital, in Mega Hospital, when people hear about in Singapore context, as you all know, in Chinese is Bangkio, right? Woodbridge. And sometimes when you say in Hokkien or in Chinese, Bangkio or Xiaokeng, Madhouse. And there's always a stigma. And I remember when I first worked there, you know, relatives and friends asked, how is it like working in a madhouse? But I tell you, brothers and sisters, working in a madhouse is no joke. You're dealing with spirits. You have not only just an unsound mind, it's a spirit that's working. But I thank God I have the opportunity, because that's where God put me to train me up. And during the time, those years I was working there, about 10 years, when it comes to night duty, in those days, night duty is a whole week, 7 days, 9 to 7, 10 hours a night. By the time the third night comes, you already feel that you are a zombie if you don't have sleep in the day. And you know what, sleep and living in housing, what? Public housing, you come back at 8 a.m. by the time you reach home and you try to sleep, you know your neighbors are going to work with all that noise, and your neighbors are cooking and all the utensils and all that noise creating, you're very hard to sleep. So by the fourth night when you go to work, you know you feel like you're already like a walking, you know, zombie. In fact, that was a very bad sort of a shift work, having 7 stretch of 10 hours, 70 hours for the whole week. Later, of course, now they cut down to 3 days, 3 nights, with 2 days off. The last time we have was 7 nights and 3 days off, which is ridiculous. But while I was there in the nighttime, night duty, after you do all the routine work and all the patients go to sleep, at midnight, or past midnight comes, you're all in bed and I will have my supper. And that's where I will have my time to meditate. And that's where I spend a lot of time with my Bible, at night. You know. And I think it's very precious to be able to take time off, whether night time, morning time, whatever time you have, just to read the Word of God and meditate on those things. And there were times when I go to the Botanic Garden, you know, just sit somewhere and lie down on the grass or the bench and just or walk, you know, in a little park where there are plants, and to be alone and just to meditate. You know. And so as King David said, oh, how true that is, you know. I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. To meditate. To meditate on God. And so we need to have some kind of topic to meditate upon. Our mind is running here and there every time. Huh? You know that, don't you? You may be thinking about your work. Then, after about 5 minutes, something caught your attention and you start to look at it, it comes to your mind and you start meditating on it. You all know that. It does, isn't it? You all remember? Yes. I take a paper in the morning, I look at it, and I saw some little article, little report. Then I meditate. Maybe it's just a casualty of some accident. Then my mind will go back to that very accident that I had. You know, the mind will work in a very strange way. You see, it's a fleeting thing. So, a man who controls his mind is a stable man. Otherwise, if not, you end up in a madhouse. It is true. People think on all sorts of things. And meditation is important. We need to think. That's why Paul said, if there be any good things, anything that have virtue, think on this thing. Take a topic and meditate on it. We thought we are sure about on Friday, you know, so his friend said, oh, you know, the Lord is coming and blah, 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 and says, and somebody, some pastor has some kind of a visions of what dreams, and the Lord give it to him or something, and it's supposed to be 30 years from now. 30 years from now. Hey, look, I'm already dead by then. You know what I was meditating the other day? You know what I was meditating? I was just saying that I'm 60 years old. And I remember reading in your word that you said, this generation shall not pass away until all this can be fulfilled. Then I began to meditate again. You know, Lord, I said, years ago, I said, you know, I don't want to be an old man when I see you come. But then, you know, I'm 60 already. And me 16 an old woman. Okay, fine. Me 16 an old man. Then I was, what is an old man then? Maybe 78 as an old man.
Then I remember 70. Okay, I remember the 70. Okay, the 70. The more I remember 70 is the 70 means is the number for Jubilee, huh? Okay, 70. Israel was a determination in 48.
So what Jubilee is that? So we are always looking for the Jubilee. When we look at the Jubilee of Israel, we try to look at chronology. We look at from the very beginning of chronology, such as a year in 1957, it's supposed to be a Jubilee year also for Israel. And then, you know, so on and so on. But I said, well, Jubilee year, would it be just everything new? If 48 is the year that Israel was given back the land, and we have 70 years of it, we'd be, wow, 2018, that would be 70. I said, okay, 70, okay, no. But then you're dealing with Israel, not dealing with the Gentiles. So okay, the 70 is minus 7, right? So you, 2011. I said, voila! I said, no, what about it? You know, 2011. Well, now it's 2008. With two more years. So Lord, please, you know, don't make me go through a hole. You know what, I'm just meditating on this thing. How we are looking. Then I look at, okay, look at this. We have the signs of a time. We have the prophecy fulfilled. We have all these things that he's showing us in the world today. Look at America. I said, oh, look at America. America is a mess. You know what? Just week or so, America, President Bush said he's going to pump $150 billion. And then while I was watching the news, the news report was talking about what President Bush said, and then he appeared, President Bush appeared and said something. Then while he was saying something, they were showing another part of the news report. They were showing the American money-making machine bringing money. I was like, whoa, what is American money going to get? $150 billion. What are they going to get that money? They're going to bring more money. What is that goal to support this money? And I said, back in the 70s, one US dollar is only worth about 42 cents. Yes, it's worth about 42 American cents, one US dollar. But now they keep on bringing money. When you have no money, you bring money. In life, monopoly. Bring money. And you know, and I said, wow, one US dollar, is it worth 50 cents now? You know, you think about it. You see, and here we have the presidency raised, a candidate raising for this whore. And I said, Hillary, look at her. And you think that she won't win? People are thinking that Obama is going to win. Huh? And so many people are sending out all the emails of Obama. Obama, he's a Muslim. And a Muslim will pledge allegiance not to the country, not to the nation, but to Allah. You know what I mean? And they don't, and when they preach religion to Allah, they face, why do they face? They face Mecca. You know, that's how they, some people put all this out. What kind of person a Muslim would be? How can a person who is a Muslim be a real good citizen of America, a real pledge allegiance to America? You know, they put out all these emails. Of course, there are those that put out all the bad emails about Hillary Clinton still being a wicked woman. But the thing that she did in the past. You know. But hey, what? We are looking at the signs of the time. And my mind began to meditate on this. I said, alright, Lord, I pray I won't be 70 years old. I hate to see myself being 70. Hey, good. Because you see, you're getting old. You're wearing out. You know what I mean? Body is not getting younger anymore. But that's why I get a lot of venison and chicken. Give me a baby of a little bit, huh? And the thing that I have no teeth, getting a lot of biscuits. Give me with biscuits and all that. I enjoy what you people give me. That's funny. And I just meditate upon the blessings of God. And we need to see where we are heading, where we are going. You know, it's not going to be 20 years time, brother and sister. It's not going to be. Alright, chapter 1, verse 2. Psalms. So let's have a determination to live in the presence of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 2.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his word do he meditate, that he meditate day and night.
You see, for meditation to be sweet, for meditation to have anything that is wonderful, you know. I don't know, but since I came into the message, and God being different from what I was when I was in the denomination, I said when I was in the Pentecost, being that I'm a Trinitarian, I prayed to the Father, Son, Holy Ghost separately, you know, and it's very serious. Everything about talking to the Lord is serious. It's serious business. There's no humor about it, no joke about it, no. You know, you just really talk to the Lord, you know, come in the presence of somebody awful, you know, and then you just feel like, ooh, heavens, you know. But when I come to the message, you know, I realize how, the more that I read the Bible, the more that I understand. You know, because I came to the message in 71, but I was really working in the hospital for a few years already. That's when I came to the message, that's why I spent more time on every time on that. And then the Bible became different to me. I began to realize that it's a very personal thing, God's relationship with you. You know? And then I can see how that the more that I read and how that God has a lot of humor. So, you know what? Is that right, John? The Father is not somebody that you should be afraid of. Somebody who could talk to you, you could talk to, and just have a good time. That's true, you know. And I remember even though Brother Abraham said, you want to hunt, went out hunting squirrel? There was no squirrel. You know, God said, how many do you want to speak to the Bible? He said, three, right? So after he shot one and two of them, and he one walked away from him, and God says, didn't you say three? You know, when God says, didn't you say three? You know, he said, what do you want? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. You know, usually they would talk to the Lord, and just like Abraham talked to God, it's a friend. It's not somebody that you are so afraid of. You're only afraid of him. You are fearful of him only because of your sin. Is that right? Because of your indifference towards him. God wants to be personal with you, and that's why. And so Job was completely ignorant about many things. All his three men came to him and counsel with him until the last one, Elihu. We get a counsel, he was, I'm in the stead of God for you. You see, until he had counsel and condition, stand and declare unto me, you have understanding, Job. What were you before when I laid the foundation of the world? Then God began to get very personal with Job. Now began to explain to him. Oh, then Job began to realize that he was so full of ignorance. And many of us are the same when we are in the denomination. Many of us Christians are just the same, they're so ignorant. You know. We do things ritualistically without realizing. And to be really a friend, we need to get into the Word of God, into the mind of God, so to speak, into the Word of God and meditate upon those things, and it will be sweet. You see? And he said here, as I said, as King David said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Amen. So we have in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, what he quoted just now. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, meditate on these things. Isn't it? The third M. When a man receives something in his mind, as I said, every day we all make choices. The eyes is the window to the soul. As I said, not just the sight, but all the five senses. All the information we collect goes into the mind, we start to think. Yeah? We think about it. Okay, let's say for example, I go down to the mall, the shopping mall,
And I walked out of shopping mall and here in the department store they have all kinds of things being sold. Okay, and here on one section I see some nice food. You know? But I'm allergic to say a certain food. I walk past, I said, oh my, this is delicious, I just want it, you know. I could stand out there for a few minutes walking up and down thinking about what to buy, to buy. And now okay, forget it. And I just walk in. Or else I want it, I just buy it and eat it and get all the allergic symptoms and whatever. You know. Or I just walk and then walk away. Okay, forget it. Then I keep walking. The only thing that I have a choice right now is that do I keep on thinking about it and meditate on this thing? Maybe I walk, by the time I walk 5 minutes down the road, I'm going to turn back and go by. You know, it's a choice. It's what we think. Isn't it? Or maybe there's something else cut our attention. We think on this, we think now. That thing is already gone. So, what we start thinking, and begin to meditate about it. For long, it goes in. So as I said, if I walk past that shop, that thing, the food that I'm allergic to, and I just had this temptation, you know, to want to buy it. So I find it, said, no, I don't want to. I walk for 5 minutes. But I'm still meditating on it. Then you know, temptation takes a hold. And so I walk back. And I buy it. And I eat it. And the result of it is a problem in the body. So you meditate long enough. But when you meditate long enough, what causes me to do? When I meditate long for 5 minutes, as I walk past, I come back and buy it. What happened? It's a result of my motive. So the third M is motivation. The motive. Why do you meditate on these things? Because now I crave it. I just love that food. I just want to eat. I want to eat. I must have it. Well, and now the result of it is the motive. So the motive is some motive. Definition of motive is a reason for doing a thing. Not what you did, but why you do it. You go down the road, you see a beggar. You take some money and you give to him. It's not how much you give. What is a dollar or what is $10? It's not how much you give, but what you give. That is the reason. When you mind the thing that you hear, or you see, or whatever you receive, you meditate long on it, you will have a motive. But the thing is that it's not what you do, what you give, it's why you do it. It's not what, it's the why. That's the thing. John chapter 3. You know, let's just read John chapter 3. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither come to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. John chapter 3, verse 20. Yes. Alright? For everyone that doeth evil, definitely they hate the light. That's why we see, you know, it's very natural. For most evil work to be done, it's always done in the night. You know that, don't you? Yeah. The burglar will go out in the night. And all those street walkers will go out in the night. You know? You understand that? Well, every secret motive is always done in a closed space. Huh? Isn't it? Back in the early days in America or in many countries, you know, where there are slavery, or where political unrest is there, when government is crooked. You know, they want to topple the government, or they want to do things, or maybe it's a racist thing. They always assemble somewhere in the jungle in the night, and things like that, or the home in the night. So everything, anybody, for everyone that doeth evil, hate the light. Evil is darkness. None that come to the light, for his deeds are. Because what? That his deeds should be reproved.
to be exposed. Okay. Now, when a man goes on, when, let me just say, when you walk down the road and you see this beggar, and there are some brothers with you and a sister with you, and you take some money and you give it to the person. They didn't know how much you give, but they ask you, well, why did you give it to this man? He looks okay. You know, we give for many reasons. I remember once when we were in Beach Road, and Brother Bradley was with us. We went there and we did. I was sitting there eating, here came an Indian man. He has no fingers. His finger was, I think, either was an accident, both hands were, you know, both fingers were all gone. So he was doing like this, you know, no fingers coming, asking for money, you see. So, you know, we saw that, I mean, he was a healthy man, was a good-sized man, but he has no finger, you know. So, automatically, we put our hand in the wallet and take some money out. And Brother Bradley gave him some money, and he was thankful he walked out. And Brother Bradley said this, says, well, that is genuine, you cannot fake that. You know, that was funny. He said, you cannot fake that, you cannot fake it. You're without finger, you cannot fake that, it's real. See, the plan of question is, it's not how much he gave, or how much we give, but why we give. There's always a reason why we give something, why we do certain things. You see? And this motive, if someone, see, passed by and saw him give money or we give money and asked, well, simple question, why do you give? Of course, here's a reason we have nothing to hide. But there are many times when we do certain things. When somebody asks you, man, what do you do it? People get offended. Do you know that? Especially certain motive that you want to hide. Certain motive that is wrong. Certain motive completely that is out of context. You know. Whether, you know, you to you it may be right in context. But to the people who ask you the question, they believe that it is wrong. They ask you, why do you do it? And some people get offended. Why do you question me? Are you questioning my motive? Have you ever said it to anybody when somebody says, what are you doing? Why are you questioning my motive? Whatever I'm doing is none of your business. There are people just like that. And you know, it's very hard for many of us to question somebody's motive. You know that, don't you? And remember one thing, there are Christians, in fact, this is what charismatic produces. They keep on quoting the scriptures, give and it shall be given unto you, give and it shall be given unto you. Here was David Wilkinson. In that email, I forward that link to you or not. He was quoted, you know, somebody put it out in what he said against the charismatic preachers and a Pentecostal preacher for what they were preaching. All the signs of wonder, they were not true. So these are all lies. And people are seduced by it. This falling down and this holy laughter and this thing that Benny Hinn was doing, do you know what I mean? What, you know, Benny Hinn, the thing that Benny Hinn are doing in his campaign? And he mentioned about one man, one preacher. And he told a man who wanted somebody to be healed in his family. You see. And he didn't even tell him about the principle of the Bible. If you want to seek for healing, there is principle in the Bible that you follow. But instead of telling the person to look for a healer, he told the person, if you want your son to be healed or whatever that may be, just give to this ministry. Just give to this ministry because God is in this ministry.
Give your money where God is doing a ministry, where miracles and signs are there, and you get it. You know, people are being brainwashed. You know, laymen. You know, we know that the thousands of people that goes to a stadium to hear men like Benny Hinn or Louis Powell or all these charismatic preachers. Many of them don't know the scripture. Do you know that, isn't it? They don't know the scripture, really. They may go to church with the Bible, yet Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is the healer. He's a great promiser, he's this, he's a wonderful, he's counselor, he's everything, the song that we always sing, but to really know him, they never meditate on the word. And they don't meditate on what, how do they know? So they go to the all this campaign, they want to be here, this and that, they were told to give, and it shall be given unto them, blah, blah, blah. And so they were taught wrong. No wonder they didn't work it. Blasted all these false preachers for telling lies to the people. Why can't I just simply tell them, even the scripture, just as simple as the book of Revelation? Seek and you shall find, knock and you shall be opened, ask and you shall be given unto you. Is it right? And so are the scriptures. The prayer of the righteous man shall avail him much. Pray, believe. Just not giving to the ministry, and so that you will be. Some people think that, you know, by doing something for God, you get blessed. It's not that. If you seek blessing from God, you think that if you want blessing from God, and you think that by doing what you are doing for God, a work for God, you're going to get blessing, it's not that. I have believers here in our fellowship that says that. You know? That even said, you know, don't worry. Told it to my wife. Don't worry. God protect your husband, your family, because he's a preacher. No harm will come. You're all very healthy. We're going on. What? Are we so special that we get no problem? There's no problem in it. You see, we're all just the same. The rain falls on just an angel. Whether you're a preacher or not preachers. Is that right? You mean say that a preacher don't get sick? A preacher's family don't have problem. The children don't have problem. Is that so? Then Paul should not have problem then. Look at Paul's problem. Rob on the highway. Is that right? Thrown into the sea. Shipwrecked. Beaten up. Very nice. He too went through that. It doesn't mean that we can get into a lot of shame, a lot of situation, you know. Just because I'm a preacher, I do things, I am a preacher, preaching over, doesn't mean that I don't get sick, I don't get into some problems. But all these trials and temptation are to mold us, to shape us, to mature us, to come to a place to realize, yeah, look, God is still in control. You know, I'm learning a lot. Even brother, nice one year, email says, you know, brother Gan, I learned a lot even while I was in Kinshasa. Learned to be more patient. You know why I learned to be more patient? You know, because here in Singapore, it's, you know, situation creates every one of us to be impatient. Is that alright? We go there, we with a bang and say, wow, what a cue. Forget it, more bad. Huh? Isn't it? It's always like that. You know? We go everywhere, we see the queue, we forget about it, and everybody's pushing this and that and complaining. It's a society created us. So, you know, when I, the same thing. I'm a person who always a punctual. I always be at the airport before, you know, always proper ahead of time. I come to church on time, proper ahead of time. Everywhere I go, I always make sure that I always ahead of time. So, even when I was, in Africa, the bus is supposed to come at 10 o'clock because I haven't got to the airport. But 10 o'clock, the vehicle is not there. By 10:15, the vehicle is not there. I said, brother, when is it coming? I said, don't worry, brother, again. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. it's coming, but you don't know when it's coming. Don't, brother, again, don't. Take it easy, brother. Ah, God's in control. Then I say, okay, I'm gonna have it. You know, you try, you learn patience. I mean, after a while, so then, you know, finally nowadays, I say, okay. If I'm stronger, I'm stronger. God is in control. What is that? Okay, let it be. So I learned to live like that. If they say, oh, just carry me, man. Okay, let me just go. You know, it's, you see the lifestyle difference. So we love fish. Even brother and say, brother, God, I learned a lot. You know, so we tend to get a little bit upset in certain situations. Don't go the way we want it to go. We want to be in control. But actually, you see, the more that we try to be in control, we get all into big trouble. You understand that? So I learned patience on you. So learn to meditate upon the things of God now. John chapter 3, verse 21. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deed might be maybe made manifest, that they are wrought in gold. So whatever it is in our heart, we meditate on those things, if our motive is right, we don't have to fear. We don't be afraid to be exposed. Do you question my motive when we do something and very common? And the person is going, oh God, you're questioning my motive. He said, next time, everybody, if somebody do something and you say, okay, let me ask the brother a question. What's the motive for doing this? Why are you doing this thing? Then he asks you, are you questioning my motive? Then he says, yes, I'm questioning your motive. See how you, then just see how his reaction. Automatically, he will look at you. Oh, I can tell you no reaction. You know what I mean? You know, the thing is that, we question God's motive. Do you question God's motive? Yes, I do. I question God's motive. Says, why, Lord? Don't we have to wait so long? You want me to make the old man? What is this all about? We question God's motive for delay. Why I question God's motive for the thing that is going on? You know, when I first came to the message, I said, wow, this is the message, this is the truth, man. So simple as that. So I expect every believer to be the same. Oops! No, it's different. Every believer that comes to the message, we thought there is supposed to be only one message. Everybody is supposed to see and understand it. But no. People have all their own opinion. Here you have. Very simple. The millennium is here. We don't need no communion. Don't need no more food washing. You know what? The question was asked me then, what are we doing here? Oh, we are just waiting for the change of the body. Just waiting for the change of the body. Just waiting for the change of the body. You go around preaching this just to wait for the change of the body. And the Bible says, let us go on to perfection, isn't it? Is perfection here already? Is perfection here already? If perfection is here, then, you know, all that which you know in part is done away with. We don't need it anymore. And that's why some people said, you know, all these are just bushy. Just too much bush. I cannot find what I want to find. I don't understand this. But Brother's book is the perfect one. The perfect has come. That's one interpretation. You see what I'm saying? So, you have only different interpretation. There you have. Oh, wow. I don't know. I sent a link to you. I don't know whether I did or not. Also, I forgot. Go to WMB1.com and listen to what Joseph Brenner had to say. Look at what he said. I mean, no, because, you know, I know what he believed, but this was something new. I was just testing my web page and googling and see what, you know, whether my web page get hits on the first few search line. And then after that I saw, yes, it still come up, and the WM1 that contained my article of Brahmism came up. So I click and go back and see. Then when I clicked, there was something new. Oh my! Joseph Branham's statement, what he believed. Here I stand, this and that. We have the absolute Brother Branham. Brother Bram is the absolute. Listen to him. He put it all out there. He said, put it all out there to show
the problem out there. You see, brother, I said, don't think I have any question. My many ministers said, wow, you dare to speak against God's prophets, or the children of God's prophets? I said, I'm not speaking against them, I'm speaking against the error that they have. And you don't tell me that you make the prophets are children, they don't make mistakes. And you have the brother of mine said the prophet don't make mistakes. And now you have this brother of mine said that the children of the prophet don't make mistakes. And if they are alright, you cannot say anything about them. They're God's prophets. They are the children of God's prophet. Hey, look at Samuel's children. Huh? You want Samuel's children? You know. God is no respecter of person. That doesn't mean your father was a prophet. A great prophet, a great apostle, and all this, and you'll make your way through to heaven too? Man. If it is wrong, you understand it's wrong. And you fear the man because you think that because he's the son of the prophet, or the daughter of the prophet. It's wrong, it's wrong. Oh, just think about it. You see, no wonder we have the mess. We have men like him, they are, well known, the son of the prophet. And we have all people for the man that doesn't know left from right, black from white. And just follow him. Oh, he's the prophet now, he's the prophet now. And they make him the prophet now. You see. Brother and sister, the devil wanted to kill truth. Are you afraid to be exposed in the light of God's word? If our motive is wrong, somebody telling you are wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. Immediately you put on the gun. Hey, what happened? He put on the gun. I'm not wrong. You're already wrong in the first place when you say you're not wrong. No matter how good the motive is, if it is unscripturally wrong, I mean if it's scripturally wrong, then it's scripturally wrong. You cannot make it right. And we have to admit that it's wrong, it's wrong. And look at King David. When he was proved wrong, yes, Lord, I'm so sorry. Huh? And he was quick to recognize the error. And Nathan came up to him and said, you are that man. You see? And God took his son away. He cried. And so Nathan came up to him, how long you want to cry for your son? And later he got up, he realized, he cannot come back, but I can go to him. He cannot come to me, but I can go to him. And he showed his heart was right. He showed that his confession was truthful. He was open to God. He cannot come back to you, but you can go to him. Live right, and God take him to him. You see that? So those there, but he that doeth truth, come unto the light that his deed may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If we, every one of us, any one of us, if our mind, we should love God with all our heart, soul, our strength, and all our mind. If our mind can run like arteries, you know, from the heart all the way throughout the body, you know, keep flowing into the Word of God. You know, we all live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If all that which we know is in this Word, it flows in us. If our mind keep on, King David, what did he say earlier on that my mind says, that my words of my mind, the meditation of my heart be acceptable. If we come on, think about this word. I don't know about you, brother and sister. I don't know about you. You know, maybe I'm just kidding. Day and night, you read our mind while work and keep thinking about the word of the Lord, about the preciousness of God. We can think about some of the problems that we all face, yes, but always go back to the Word of God. And let us. Try to realize that God is in control. That this thing happened because of so many other causes that brought about this thing. And then let it be known to us that, well, we are facing this is because God wants to put us to a test. God is shaping us, molding us.
not without any reason. Even God subject all this creation to failure, to the fall. Why? By reason of Him, because He has the reason. We did not know the reason. So we can ask God, so what's the motive then? For allowing, you know, sometimes we explain to people, if God is so good, why did He allow sin to come? Huh? You don't understand God's motive. You tell them this is the reason, but because by reason of the hope that for something else, in the hope that we could have a better body, better things. But people cannot comprehend. Alright, so let us all be judged by God on the quality of our motive. The reality, the truthful things that's in our heart. Let it not be, you know, just the way we want to do things and completely wrong, but as to the why, not to the what. Why you do what we do. What's the motive? What's the motive of that brother who complained and criticized? And yet stay home and listen to the teams. And expect to be in a rapture. Because God is not mocked. He saw you have to reap it. The denomination saw it. They reap it. They are not going to make the rapture. If they make the rapture, the Branhamite will have to go to. I said this before, and we all know that to be true. So what then is the message given for? Ask yourself a question. What is the message given for? Huh? To call out from denomination? And to be like denomination again? To have our factions and our split? Because we want our own opinion, we want our own motive to be what we want it to be? You know? And so when I go out there and preach to some churches, I was very careful. I kind of talk with the ministers first. I don't want to stir a hornet nest because of the comfort zone. Because my motive, no matter how right it may be, I need to be treading it very carefully. If the minister, like over there in Ivory Coast, he said, Brother Gann, don't talk about thunders. Okay, no thunders. We don't talk about. You understand that? We respect. Because they don't want the request not to, okay. But he said, Brother Gann, you are free to say anything you want. And I said, okay, if you really value that, I will say whatever I want. Let our motive be right. Otherwise, we find ourselves in a mess. We find ourselves that we stand before God, hearing Him say, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So we have to be, for our spiritual experience, we need to change completely. Let the Holy Spirit of God take us into these three areas: the mind, the meditation, and the motive. God bless you. The brothers in America once sing the song. He wrote a song, but for many years I heard it sang when I was there. He was in the home, he was singing it. And I love that song, but I asked him to sing it and have it taped, but he said he couldn't remember the full wording of the song. But I remember some part of the wording. He said, the deep is calling unto the deep. There's a gentle stirring on waters of deep. The Lord is calling, and the bride is stirring or something. And he said, the Lord is leading those who are free from sin. And he's going to lead them, he's going to get them, you know, to prepare them for the rapture. It's a very nice song, but doesn't remember the wording. And here's a little poem. The deep which calleth unto the deep, make motive quick to find. Makes motive, but the offspring of a meditating mind. So let him talk and let him feed. As deep replies to deep, that may he smile and sweetly work upon my soul to keep. The deep is calling unto the deep. We are the deep. There, the deep up there is calling. And here the deep is calling, responding. Calling to the deep. Make the motive quick to find. Make motive, but the offspring of a meditating mind. So let him talk and let him speak as the deep replies to deep. May he smile and sweetly work upon my soul to keep. So let us remember this. Our mind, our meditation, our motive. Let it be revolutionized in the Word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done in our life, Lord. We know we have failed in many places in our lives, and we know, Lord, in this life we are going through this. The road is not an easy road, Father. And on this highway to Lord, we know there is a valley, and there's the mountains, and there is the rocks, and the crevices, and the holes. And yet we know, Father, you lead us to. You will lead us to, Lord. And especially, Lord, when we come to the garden alone, come to a place, Father, we can meditate day and night upon thy word. As King David said, let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart, Lord, be something in your sight. Be approved in thy sight. The Lord, you will judge us, O man. How the Lord we relate ourselves to you, and how the Lord in all things that we do, whatever motive, Father, let it be sweet in thy sight. Let the Holy Spirit lead us, Lord. Even as the deep calleth to the deep, let us respond, Father, unto you, and may you so soonly come, Lord, and keep us in the way of life eternal. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord. Blessed be thy holy name, and how blessed are thy words to us, Lord, in this life. In this last few years, Lord, in the last few grade of time, Lord, there ain't much left. Lord, I believe, Father, in the hourglass of thy prophetic time, you're going to tip away fast and soon, Lord. We see this war, the Gentile systems of the world, come to its end. We look forward, Lord Jesus, to thy coming. We ask for your grace, Lord, in life. In Jesus' wonderful name, Father. Amen. God bless all of you. Let us wish forward.